a God of new. He talked about how God is a God of new opportunities, new possibilities, right? And I love that video, even though it kind of has a, oh, that kind of, maybe that kind of fits you, right? Maybe you feel like you're at a place where, man, life just, man, it's just taking a terrible turn. Maybe life is just not what you thought it was going to be. Maybe life is not the direction that you thought it was going to go down. But the cool thing is, God is the God of the restoration. God is the God of the new beginning. And though your story is where your story is at now, it doesn't have to be the last, the end, right? That there is another chapter that God can write. There's another chapter of a new things that God wants to do in your life. And that's the way God is, right? There's new seasons. There's new for Falcons fan. This has been a great season. And I am wearing my colors and my Falcon this morning. And I am looking forward to it being a new day. But I'm not getting too excited because, like I said, I am a Falcons fan. And we've been here before. But I am excited, it is a new season, and it is new possibilities, and God, I believe God wants to do new things on the inside of us, and that's the way our God is. And so, I want to talk this morning a little bit. I'll be honest, as I was writing my message this week, man, I just had just a lot of just thoughts, and so this morning I'm just going to really trust God that God's going to take all this stuff that I have and put it all together, amen, and just put some kind of order to it. But let's pray. God, I pray that you would help me. Help me this morning, God, deliver your word, God, the way you gave it to me. And God, I pray, God, that you would use my mouth to speak your word. And God, give us ears to hear what your spirit wants to say. And God, my prayer today is that we would all leave this place, me included. We could leave this place going, man, I heard from God about my life today. And God, that's our prayer. God, speak to us. God, our ears are open to you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to talk about, with anything new, it brings a new hope. So easy to step right into a Star Wars thing right there, right? A new hope. And there is possibilities for a new hope, right? There's new things, new hope, new possibilities. A new job brings new hope of new things and a better life, right? Or a better opportunities. A new car brings new excitement, right? It brings, especially you guys, some of you guys are like, new car junkies, right? You love your new car, or not just brand new, or that new because it's new to you, right? That new thing. Maybe it's those new shoes, right? They bring new possibilities to the ultimate amounts of combination of outfits that you now can wear because you have those new shoes. Glory to God. Right? They do bring new possibilities, new hope for new things. Hope is something on the inside of us that gives us life, right? We named our church Hope Church because we wanted this church to be a place where hope can be found, where people who are hopeless can come and have their hope renewed because they're, you know, the Bible says our hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope is an awesome thing. Hope, and without hope, it brings depression. It brings sadness. It takes away the life and the energy that God wants to put on the inside of us. Hopelessness. It is not enough just to have hope. The beginning for new things. The thoughts, our thoughts and possibilities bring hope. If we feel hopeless and we live defeated as defeated people. See, hope is where it all starts. Some of you, you've had, like the video showed, and the reason I wanted to show it is you've had a terrible turn in your life. And maybe you've been through life a little bit longer than others, and you've had several turns. And man, that hope, you don't even want to open, come on, that hope anymore. You don't want to open up that possibilities anymore because of disappointments, hurts, and hope that was, like the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so you don't even want to open that place of hope anymore. But I have good news that God is the God that will lead you down the path that is best for you and will help you and to be able to open up that hope again. In Jesus' name. Hebrews, hope is where it starts. Hope is where our faith starts. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "Now faith is the confidence of things we hope for and the assuredness of things that we do not see." Terry. Hope. Without hope, if you can't open up your heart to hope that possibilities could be good for you, hope is the ability to see that things are possible again. Without hope, you can have no faith. Your hope, faith, is like the anchor of your hope is the anchor of your faith. Without hope, without you opening up your heart to the possibilities, maybe there can be no faith. We have to have hope. We have to open up our hearts to hope. What happens is if we become people who are hopeless, we become people. My son is doing this paper at school, and it was kind of cool. He comes in my office at home this week, and he says, "Like, Dad," he goes, "What do you know about optimism? I'm supposed to write this paper about optimism." And I was like, "Are you serious right now? I'm like writing this message on faith and hope, and you come in here asking me about optimism. Are you serious?" I go, "I got a lot of stuff to tell you about." And he's writing all these quotes, you know. He's looking up. He's like, me and my son connected because one of my favorite websites is Brainy Quotes. Anybody know what that website is? Okay, it's just me. Okay, yeah. Brainy Quotes. It's great because there are all these quotes by all these different people, and he's like reading all these. He's like going and he's like doing a Michael Jordan quote, I think. Not Michael Jordan, Jordan. Jordan, but we have a Michael Jordan here today. Not that Michael Jordan. Okay, ADD, stop. Focus. But he had this, you know, he's having all these quotes about optimism. I was like, man, that just goes right into, because what does hopelessness produce? It produces the opposite of optimism. It produces pessimism, being pessimistic. Remember we showed a clip of Eeyore? Wow, it went over like a lead balloon. Let me just say that. When we showed that clip, everybody's like, "Oh, man." I don't know if we saw ourselves in the Eeyore clip or what, but it was like if we have the Eeyore mentality, right? You put the, "Hey, I put your tail back on there, Eeyore. Most likely fall off again." Right? These good things happen to you, probably won't last forever. Right? But God, you know what? Ultimately, God is the God of the optimistic. That yes, things will change. Yes, things can be better. Yes, that this doesn't have to be the end of my story. That things can change. That God is looking out for me. God is for me, and if God be for me, then who can be against me? I don't have to live my life in pessimism. When bad things happen, that's fine. It's just a stepping stone to something great. Because God, the Bible says, God always, it says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God is the God of the optimistic people. And we don't use really the word optimistic because it sounds too like, whatever that, you know, like New Agey or whatever. The Bible just calls it faith. He calls it faith. Actually, optimism is kind of the undercurrent of faith. Faith. Faith is the confidence of things that we hope for. Faith is the key. Faith, the Bible says, is the assurance of things that we do not see. Man, that takes us, you're talking about stepping out. You're talking about stepping into something. Stepping out onto the water. stepping into something that you cannot see. It's the Indiana Jones as he walks across the, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Indiana Jones, one of the greatest examples of faith in motion pictures. Indiana Jones, he's standing there and, you know, Indiana Jones, he's not the big faith. His dad is, right? Indiana Jones is sitting there and he has to walk through all the trials, you know, kneel before God. Things fly over his head, right? Anybody watch this movie? Okay, just nod with me. And so then he gets up, yeah, Last Crusade. He gets up there and there's this chasm. And he says, and the very last thing is the leap of faith. And he looks and there's just a chasm. And he goes, oh. He's like, oh, you picked the wrong guy. You know, I'm not a faith guy, right? And he steps out and sure enough, yeah, he goes, you know, faith is actually of the heart. It's actually a very good analogy. So he steps out and he just steps, keeps stepping. And I love it because the camera pans around and he sees that because of the way the path was, he couldn't see that there was a path all the way across. It's a great thing about what faith is. Faith is stepping out on something that you cannot see when in reality there is a solid surface right there. Because God's power is there. God's ability is there. Peter couldn't see that he could walk on water, but when Jesus said, come, the power to walk on water was made available for Peter, and he walked on water according to Jesus' word. The power was there. It's the assurance of things that we can't see. Now, our culture, when it talks about faith, it's kind of different. And I really kind of struggled with this point, but I hope God's just going to help me bring it around. Because our culture says this, even people outside of the Christian faith, or no faith, but they just say, you just have faith. Like what? Faith in what? Right? Or then they'll get specific, you need to have faith in yourself. You need to have faith in yourself, right? So many things, it's like this weird aura faith. You know, people are spiritual, right? People are more spiritual than we give people credit for. And people, they understand like concepts of faith, but they don't understand biblical faith. Because faith isn't just faith in faith, right? It's not faith in fate. Our faith, Jesus said, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Jesus answered. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. Let me step aside. Let me explain something. See, faith, this is how faith works. Faith is based on really two types of knowledge, two types of understanding. Faith is based on the fact that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But faith is an understanding of who God is, but it's also, faith is also that God will do what He said He will do. So you could say it like this. Faith is based on two types of knowledge. First type of knowledge is this, that faith is based on His promises and who He is, His character, and that He will do what He said He will do. That He will do what He said He will do. Well, let's talk about God. Who is God? You're like, are you serious right now? We're like all Christians, like maybe you're a person that you're kind of searching or whatever, but you're in a church, you kind of got an idea of God and you're talking about, right? But let's talk about God. I learned a new word. It's infinitude of God. The infinitude of God. God knows no boundaries. He is without measure. This attribute It actually impacts every other attribute of God. He knows no boundaries. There is no, he doesn't run out of resources. He doesn't run out of space for you. He doesn't run out of ability for you. His power and his who he is infinite. Infinitude. Everybody say infinitude. He is holy. It has to do with his moral purity. He is Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His omniscience. He knows everything. God possesses perfect knowledge. He's faithful. Everything that God has promised will come to pass. God is love. God doesn't just love, he is love. He's self-existence, one of my favorite parts about God. When he asked Moses, remember that? He says, Who should I say sends me? He goes, the I am that I am. Meaning, what's that? I am the one who is and always has been. Right? Self-existence. I don't need any other support. I don't need any other life but my own. Right? I don't need any other thing to help me exist. I exist of myself. God. He's full of justice. He never changes. His mercy means he pours out his compassion. You know God's compassionate towards you? Boy, that's so often missed. We say it, but we oftentimes don't receive it. God is merciful to you. Can I just speak that? I feel like there's somebody in here. Don't stop stressing. Stop striving. Be merciful. Allow God's mercy to come on you. God is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not a struggle between you and him. It's not a struggle between your obedience and his anger, right? God is merciful towards you. He draws you. He leads you, right? Mercy. He's eternal. His goodness. He's kind. One of my favorite scriptures is God's about God's loving kindness is greater than life. You know, God does lovingly kind things to you. Loving kindness, right? Those things that God does for you. Ladies, when your husband buys you that flower or that rose, those roses, or whatever they do. I'm just kidding. What? Or you took out the trash, you know, whatever your love language is, right? We'll go into all that. But whenever that person, they do that thing that just shows love towards you, right? They do that, whatever that is. And you know what? God does that. God knows your love language. And he does lovingly kind things for you. That's our God. He's always present. In the Bible, he's revealed to us by his names. And there's a Hebrew theologian in the house, so I must be careful how I pronounce these. I'll probably mispronounce them. But the Bible talks about Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Ra, our shepherd. The Bible says his sheep hears his voice. You can hear God's voice. He leads you. God is Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He's Jehovah Ra, the shepherd. You know, sometimes we need to be more trust and got more in God's ability to lead than even our own ability to follow. And let that sink in. God's ability to lead. God's a great leader. And if we just stay in his pasture, right, God will lead us. He will lead us. He'll guide us. One of the greatest things you can do is just keep your heart open to God. God, just keep my heart pure before you. And man, God will lead you. I mean, I think about, you know, some of the people that I dated that, man, I really wanted that to work out, right? And you look now after, you know, 21 years of marriage to the most amazing woman on the planet, I look back and go, thank God you rescued me. That God led me, he led me even against my own wants. He said, David, I know your heart's towards me. And he led me. Isn't that awesome? Trust God's ability to lead greater than your ability to follow. God is Jehovah Ra. He's the Lord Shema, who is the Lord who is there. The Lord, our righteousness, right? Tiskenu, is that right? Close? Close enough. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Yireh, however you should pronounce. That would mess up that old 70s worship song for sure, if you remember back in the day. Jehovah Jireh, he is your provider. Actually, that translated better is the Lord who sees and provides. He sees your need and provides for you. That's the God you serve. Not a God who's a withholder. Not a God who is, you know, if you do enough good stuff, then I will, right? No, he's the God who sees the need and provides the need. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Jehovah Shabbat. The Lord of hosts. I mean, I've said these the same way for years, and then Greg shows up, and now I'm confused about how to say anything. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven for you. He is for you. So when Jesus says, have faith in God, he's talking about those qualities. He's talking about those names. He's talking about the way he's revealed himself in Scripture. Have faith in God. God is for you. We are to have faith in him, that he is our source. He's the God of the billions and billions of stars. Abram didn't even know when God said, look up in the stars, I'll make your descendants like that. He couldn't even see all the stars. He is our God. Psalms 121, verse 1 through 4 says this. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches you will not slumber. He didn't sleep on the job for you. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep, nor slumber or sleep. He is God. Have faith in him. When we talk about new things, when we talk about God doing new things on inside of us, it's immediate that we, like by nature, we go to the, all right, to change, here are the disciplines I need to put in place, right? I need to put these disciplines in place so that I may fulfill, you know. I need to say this. David said last week that discipline is just remembering what you want. I need to remember. I'm going to write it on my screen. I'm going to write it up there. I'm going to write the vision plain, make it plain, right? I'm going to do all that stuff, and I'm going to take this step, and this step. You got to be real careful that you don't put your faith in your own actions, in your own doings, in your own workings. But you put your hope, put your faith in God. Does that mean don't do anything? Don't do the principles of God? No. Apply those principles. Apply all those things. But your help doesn't come from your own ability to discipline yourself. Your help doesn't come from just your own ability to fix yourself, or you had to fix yourself a long time ago. Your help comes from God. Let me just say, if your vision for your life isn't big enough where all you need is yourself, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Stretch your vision. Thing you love about Peter is Peter was willing, right? One dude walked on water out of that boat, only one. He expanded his vision. He goes, now you're in a boat, right? Seas are going crazy, and you see Jesus. First you think it's a ghost, and you're terrified. And this may or may not be Jesus. All of a sudden, oh yeah, that's Jesus. Voice says, and you have the boldness to say out of your mouth, hey Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out there. Oh, see, this is messed up because we've read the Bible too much.
Because this story is just another little good old story. You do that, right? You put yourself in that deal. Most of us, we'd be honest, we're like Thomas. You better get ready to get Peter. I don't know if they had those life rings. I guarantee you, Thomas had that life ring. Are you ready? He's stepping in the water. What an idiot. But Peter walked on water. Did he sink? Sure. But you know what? When he sank, Jesus picked him back up. The Bible says they both walked together back to the boat on the water. Not just once, but twice. He walked on water. You know why? Because he wanted to do something that was out of the norm. He wanted to do something that stretched him. He wanted to do something that challenged even who he was. I want to walk on water. Hey, Jesus, if you can do that, I want to do it. See, some of us, our visions are too... And even that hope that you don't want to open back up, that's all mixed in with that, guys. God wants to do new things, new possibilities. He wants to take some of those disappointments that you had, that you now learned from, that you are now on the other side and now wiser because of them. Come on. And he wants you to, don't hold on to that. He wants you to get out and walk. He wants you to step out, step into new things. But you're going to have faith in not yourself, because faith in yourself doesn't work. Faith in faith doesn't work. Man, I was around a faith message for years. And man, it got to be where it kept sounding like, are we having faith in God or just faith in our faith? No, have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Right? Have faith in God. There's a fence on both sides. I can do all the work and just hope God blesses it. Or I just do nothing and pray God does everything. Or we stay in the middle. And I do what God requires of me and trust God for the results. Having done all to stand, stand. Having done all you've known to do, having done all that you've known to follow God, to stand, and then stand on His supernatural part. See, we need to remember that we are supernatural people when we serve a supernatural God. Those things that we've been through, those difficulties that we've been through, those times that you're going through right now, we serve a supernatural God. And we receive His promises by faith. By faith. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to cause you to step out and do things that, man, is terrifying. Right? I remember just, some of you dads, you know this, right? You know, while the mom is all excited, holding the baby, going, look, baby. You're going, does this come with an instruction manual? Does this guy come with an instruction? I remember that was my thought. Rachel was born, I was like, I need a special instruction manual for this little baby. And I remember when the doctor said, okay, y'all can go home. I went like, no, we're fine. We're fine right here. Because you guys are great. You guys are awesome. We're just going to stay right here in this hospital room. And my wife was so excited about going home. And I was like, no. They're really taking well care of us. And every time we have a question, they answer it. It's awesome. When I go home, y'all are going to be here. And this is a little baby that's, you know, if you hold them wrong, you, like, break their neck. And, like, what if I break their neck?
What if I forget to lie? You've got, and they do the swaddling thing. Remember that? Remember the swaddling thing? Like they're like geniuses, like a little baby burrito. Like just wrap, tuck, and they're like completely constricted, like a cocoon. And you try to do it, and like it's just like everywhere. Like the legs are flopping out, and they're crying. Swaddling. I need Jesus to help me swaddle, right? But you take that baby home as a step of faith. You're like, I don't know how to do this, right? What is God asking you to step into this year? It's not scary. Maybe you need to go back and pray some more. What is God requiring of you this year? See, faith sees with our spiritual eyes. Those things that we don't see. Listen, you know, so many times we want the instantaneous manifestation of prayers. Let me just touch on this real quick. The instantaneous manifestation of prayers. Meaning this. I prayed, and I should see it. I prayed, and I should see it right away. That's a miracle. No, really, it's a miracle. Sometimes you pray, and you don't see the manifestation. Guess what kicks in? Faith. See, what happens is some people come up for prayer, maybe for a sickness, maybe for a body ailment or something. We pray. There's no instantaneous manifestation. Sometimes there is. There's no instantaneous manifestation of, this will help you, of healing, right? And this is what happens to some people. They walk up, they get hands laid on them, maybe even anoint them with oil. And then they get prayed for. Maybe their ankle hurt, or they twisted or whatever. And they walk back, and in their mind they do this. I didn't get nothing. Really? Guess what kicks in? Faith. Well, doubt, yeah. Guess what should kick in? Faith. Faith. And they almost out of their mouth, they go, I didn't get anything. I didn't get it. Didn't happen. My Bible says if they lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You know, there's a lot of people that recover. And then there's a lot of people who instantly get taken care of. Even the word recover means they're a process. Sometimes it's a process. Faith is a process. So when you get prayed for, maybe they prayed long. Maybe they prayed annoyingly long. And you know. You went, okay, I'm done. But they walk and what you do is you do this. God, their hands laid on me. God, you said in your word that when hands laid on me, that your power is now at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. In Jesus' name, my ankle's getting better. In the mighty name of Jesus, my ankle's getting better. See, faith is what you don't see. You can't touch with your physical senses. So how are we expected to walk in faith if I'm expecting an instant manifestation every single time? You walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So when things aren't happening the way you think they're happening, don't give up. Press in. Push forward. Go. God, you're working. You're still working. I do not go by what I see. I go by what I believe. I go by what your word says. Your word says that, God, you can make me well. I go by that word. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. I go by that word. I go by that word. Well, it didn't work. I had to go to a doctor and I got better. I'm sure it disappointed God. Probably disappointed God that you got better by a doctor. Mercy. Darkness comes. This is John Piper. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. The temptation is to quit The temptation to quit is huge. Don't. You're in good company. You will argue with yourself that there is no way forward, but with God, nothing is impossible. I love this. Listen to this. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of the pits than you are able to conceive. Wait, pray without ceasing, and hope. It's John Piper. There's a lot of ways out. There's a lot of tunnels. There's a lot of ladders that you can't even see your way out of the situation that you're in. Don't box God in and say, well, God's got to give me this, whatever this is, specific way to get out of this pit. God's got a lot of pits. He's got a lot of tunnels out of the pit. He's got a lot of ladders. He's got ropes. He's got all kind of abilities to get you out, but it's Him. God is a God of miracles. He's the God of new beginnings. He's the God that can take a bad situation and turn it around for His good. He can take what the devil meant for evil and make it glorify God in your own life and turn it around for good. I've seen so much of God, even in me, of God has just worked in me. Man, if you would only live, walk in my shoes. If you were only to walk down my path. If you only walk down Rick's path, there needs to be a book about God's favor and God's deliverance and God's help. Isn't that right, Rick? About God's faithfulness out of trouble. Was it always easy? No. But God's faithful. The Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous. I'm sure they'll all dodge you. There's other people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Trust God. Step into something different. Step into something new. And if God, and remember last week, we said this. What is God asking of you to do? What is that thing? Not everything. I'm not talking to, because if you start talking, you know, if we start talking, what are the things you need to change? Some of you are just like, well, let me make a list for you. You know what I challenge you to do? If you have that list, what's God highlighting that one thing? That thing. In that same scripture, Jesus says, you know, say to that mountain, be removed. Notice that He didn't say to that mountain range. He said that mountain. What is that thing that God's asking you to change? What is that thing that God's asking you to step into? Not all your issues. What is that one thing? And if God's drawing you into it, trust His heart. Trust that He's able more than your ability to make it happen. And watch God do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even ask or think. You know how many times the Bible says walk by faith? A lot. The just shall live. Not walk in certain times of their lives. The just shall live by faith. Everybody stand up with me. Bow your heads with me for a minute and just have a you and Him moment. The just shall live by faith. So God, we look to You, and God, You are the Jesus, You are the author and the finisher of our faith. God, I pray, God, that You would help us. Even as the disciples prayed, oh Lord, increase our faith. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Whatever that thing is, whatever that situation is, whatever that new thing is, I want You to go, maybe even today, maybe even tonight, find scriptures of God's promises that back up that thing. What is God's character? What is God's nature about that thing?
And I want you to just meditate on that. God, I'm confused. Maybe you're confused about which direction to go. God, I thank you, God, that your sheep hear your voice. I quote that scripture all the time. As a pastor, sometimes I have to make decisions or even counsel people. And I'm just natural, kind of clueless about. God, your sheep hear your voice. And God, I thank you, God, that I can hear your voice. And I don't allow my own strength to be predominance in my life. God, I rely on your strength. God, I trust you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God, I'm going to trust that you are, and you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I won't let go. I'm holding on to faith. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen.